There you go. So, now, it's only fair, guys. Last week, we had Dennis Maloney in, and it was time for Ask Dennis, and Dennis gave us some painting tips, as Dennis does. Do y'all have any questions for the mayor that you know you'd like to get answered as far
like
as
real estate questions
or something like that, you know, property development questions?
Yeah, we could talk about real estate. I heard Chase earlier talking about his kids need to stay at home when they go to A&M or Sam Houston. Chase, I would tell you to start investing now and buy that rental property today. It'll be paid off by the time your kids get into college. They still will be living rent-free, and you can write that off on your taxes.
I understand. There's a problem with liquid assets available to make that happen, though. So.
Yeah, I understand. That's it. All right. And, Tom, you have any questions real estate associated for the
Who's that smooth voice that voices your radio ads?
Oh, he's awesome, Tom.
Yeah, I know. Self-serving.
Golly.
Self-serving?
Yeah, so and when it gets to closing, you know, Tom will be in there going, no, I'll tell you, Jason, if you could just kind of do me a deal here, just shave a point or two. Just help us out.
I've never asked that.
I know.
Of course, the opportunity hadn't come up
That's
yet.
Exactly right. So
everything's negotiable.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. Anyway, Jason Mayansky joins us this morning.
Good morning.
How are you today? One of the things is I noticed this morning in the paper that it's time, based on the census, to probably redraw some lines among the city of Bryan and how council members are elected, and that's one of the things that y'all discussed and took action on.
Yes, sir. Basically, every 10 years we do redistricting, and we've had a lot of growth on our east side and a lot of growth on our west side, so we're going to have to redraw the single-member districts, which Bryan has. We've got a couple of districts that have lost some population, so we're going to have to reconfigure and redraw those lines to make it even and representative of the population in those areas. So yep. We're going through that process right now. Hope to have that finished by the end of this year.
Now, you did this without any discussion in open council, so kind of give us some background on that. I mean, I don't know that people care necessarily. They want to be represented. They don't care who their representative is necessarily, but why was there no public discussion on this?
Well, there was very little public discussion. Most of it is set in stone on how the process is going to be. You know, there's federal guidelines that are involved in making sure that you know, we don't draw people out of their certain districts. It's important to the city council in Bryan that we try to maintain the integrity of the neighborhoods. We've had Memorial Forest split for 10 years, half in three and half in four. So, you know, it split that neighborhood when it came to voting. It was very confusing. So one neighbor on one side of the street voted for Ann Horton and the other neighbor voted for Chuck Condola. So very confusing. So we're going to try to piece all those neighborhoods back together, if at all possible, you know, depending on where the population lies and how that works, because District 4, which is the central part of Bryan, has lost some population. So we're going to have to, you know, gain some and add some from single-member District 3, which is the east side of town. So in doing so, most of the guidelines are set in stone. You know, we've got to work through the Department of Justice, and they'll dictate a lot of what we have to do in this process to make sure it's fair and equitable to all people involved.
Yeah. For folks who haven't lived here for a long time, it was the Office of Civil Rights that caused this whole thing to happen years and years ago. Now we're, 50 years ago almost that happened. Now, so this could I guess, theoretically cause a change in the makeup of the council itself. We might see that this council would look different next time.
It could very well look different. Right now we have an African-American district and we have a Hispanic district. If you look at the numbers and the population and the growth, you pretty much have two Hispanic districts in one and two now. So it has been so for the past 4 or 5 years. It hasn't necessarily changed the outcome of the elections, but you could have some change in some of the future of the city council of Bryan, depending on the growth and population of Bryan.
Now, timeline is you put this plan together, you have public hearings, the feds have to approve this, but what would be the first election where these new districts would be in effect?
Yeah, May 2012.
Okay, all right. And, you know, that brings up, I was talking to Dennis Maloney last week, and I asked him, at least as one member of council, what's your feeling about having city elections at the same time you have other elections in November? Would you prefer that they be different or prefer they be at the same time?
We haven't really talked about that in Bryan. I think Dennis mentioned, you know, the partisanness of the politics of the November elections, where you have Democrats and Republicans or identities to those parties' affiliations. You know, you sometimes get lost in the in the vigor of the elections, if you're in November, you've got a presidential election, maybe a U.S. Senate election, potentially a governor, a gubernatorial election, all the way down to state representative, county commissioners. You know, it makes a city council race seem, or a school board race seem minor, and but you do have a outstanding turnout in November for those elections. So I'm good either way. Personally, I like November elections. That's our slow time of year. And
sure.
So it, campaigning in September, October, November personally suits me better than campaigning in March, April, and May when we're trying to sell real estate. So, you know, so I'm biased when it comes to those issues.
Sure.
But some say you have a lot more people voting in November, so you truly get representative of what the people want in November. It could save some money, possibly, if you do all the elections together. So there's pros and cons of that. We haven't looked at that in Bryan at this point, but if that's something the council decides to explore, I'll be willing to listen to the members and see what we can do.
Another thing that you did, Jason Bianski, the mayor of Bryan, joined us. One of the other things that you did is kind of looked at the master plan for stormwater usage. It's an infrastructure deal that changes as the city grows. I mean, that's a good thing, but you put more pavement down and water kind of moves differently than it did before, and you have to handle that.
Yeah, absolutely. Every time a new development hits, concrete goes down, a new business comes to town, you know, it definitely changes the drainage issues. And so we have to constantly stay on top of those issues and constantly keep reconfiguring where retention and detention ponds need to go. And we have a ranking and priority system that we have in place that we work through staff on, and they'll come back and rank out the areas that need most attention, and we've been doing that.
Where are we in the we've talked a few times about this, that little patch of land right there on 47 that's at the edge of the biomedical corridor development. Where are we? Because I know the Bryan and College Station are having to negotiate some things.
We're negotiating that on a weekly basis with a couple of the council members in College Station, a couple of the council members in Bryan. We're very close to getting that wrapped up. I want to thank Mayor Berry and Mayor Pro Tem John Crompton for their efforts on the College Station side, Mayor Pro Tem Ann Horton, and Council Member Art Hughes on the Bryan side in helping with those negotiations. There's 146 acres that resides in the city limits of College Station that the city of Bryan owns, and so we're looking at some revenue sharing on that property between the city of Bryan and College Station. We're also looking at facilitating some infrastructure servicing in those areas. We've got we're able to do the sewer on the west side of town. College Station's able to sewer us on the east side of town where we need to grow and develop. And so it'll be some cost-saving methods of the two cities working together and servicing each other's parts of towns where we're growing and developing without spending, you know, $7 to $10 million to do so ourselves. We've got some other infrastructure needs. The Health Science Center Parkway needs to be complete. We've got an overpass that needs to be paid for. Turkey Creek Road needs to be expanded. So there's a lot of infrastructure projects that we're also talking to College Station about and partnering with. But that biomedical corridor, and particularly that area, there's about 200 acres in that vicinity there, some in Bryan, some in College Station, is the wave of the future. There's a lot that's going to happen out there, a lot that is happening out there right now because of the Health Science Center and some of the businesses that have located there. So sure. We're very excited about it in Bryan and College Station.
Well, which leads me to Dennis Maloney being with me last week. And this is what Dennis had to say.
I heard Jason Bianski the other day talking about this thing. And, boy, he waxed eloquently on this. He used every political cliche in the book, except we're doing it for the children. But we did it for partnerships. We did it for getting in front of the curb, getting in front of growth. And this is a great thing, economic development. Listen, Highway 47 has 7,000 cars a day going down it. Munson Avenue has that every day. We have a thing called the Metropolitan Planning Organization, and that's a group made up of both cities, the county, and other governmental entities. They sit down and they look at the transportation needs for our area. They make a list of priorities, and then they decide where the funds should be spent for where the most need is. Nowhere on that list of over 30 projects will you find the bridge to nowhere on 47. But the good old boys went down to Austin, lobbied, and found $9 million that TxDOT told us, our MPO, that they didn't have. Now they have $9 million for a bridge to nowhere. Well, take that $9 million and put it where it's supposed to be. The point is that it's not fair to go in there and say, this is a great project. It is a great project, no question about it. But the need is Rock Prairie Bridge, and that's where that money should go. That's the number one need in the Brazos Valley.
Your comments.
We did it for the children. I think that was the only thing as Councilmember Maloney said that I left out of the equation there, but want to reemphasize that was Prop 14 money. We did go down to Austin this summer, the good old boys, as Dennis calls us. We did lobby for the citizens of Bryan, and this project is a Bryan-College Station Tech-Sim University project. This overpass lies on the border of Bryan and College Station. It's going to serve the Health Science Center. The Prop 14 money was set aside for safety projects. It does not compete with the Rock Prairie Bridge and some of the other projects that the Metropolitan Planning Organization has prioritized. So those projects are moving forward that are a concern to the city of College Station. These funds are a separate set of funds that the city of College Station could have applied for, that the city of Bryan did apply for, but they're not competing with this Rock Prairie Bridge that I know Councilmember Maloney was concerned about and some of the other projects that we do rank out on the Metropolitan Planning Organization priority list. So those projects are still in, you know, 1 through 10 order, and they're proceeding ahead as possible. But
well, explain for a minute what Prop 14 is then. So
Prop 14 is money that's set aside. It's kind of extra money from some of these other projects, some of the projects that came in under budget. They'll set aside those dollars for, you know, emergency-type projects, safety projects. Another project in the region that was funded that day was the widening of 105 between Navasota and Montgomery County, which there's a lot of wrecks and accidents over in that area. But this was important to our community, important to the A&M system, important to Governor Rick Perry and everyone involved. You're going to have thousands of kids and employers and employees that are coming in and out of that intersection. I will say they drive a lot faster on Highway 47 than they do on Rock Prairie. You know, there's a cop at every intersection at on Rock Prairie, so you're driving 30 miles an hour. They're driving probably 80 miles an hour on average on Highway 47. So if you're going to have folks coming in and out of that facility there, that was an important project. And true, it will help with the growth and development of that area, but again, there's more to grow and develop on the College Station side than on the Bryan side, if you look at the maps. But that was a project that was, again, not competing with the
Prop 14 is important. That's good information.
It's a separate set of funds.
That
we're competing with the other projects. Okay. Those other projects are important also.
Right. Well, what else is on your radar screen today?
Well, want to mention tonight at Texas Roadhouse, the Tip-A-Cop program's going on. It's Wednesday and Thursday night, benefiting Texas Special Olympics. We're very, very proud of our residents of Bryan, and I want to mention that Bryan's very own Rainey Rodriguez will be coming to town this week. She is one of our Disney Hollywood movie stars.
Sure.
She will be debuting, premiering her film Prom. So Disney's Prom that comes out on Friday will be premiered here at the Premier Cinema in Bryan.
Yeah.
And she'll be on hand at about 7:30, 8 o'clock to sign autographs, take pictures with her fans. She was previously in Mall Cop, so you've seen her in Mall Cop. Her brother, Rico Rodriguez, is also an actor and successful star. And they're also proud of our former Bryan Mayor Ron Blatchley's granddaughter, Tiffany Thornton, who is doing a lot in Hollywood right now with Disney. And you'll hear on Radio Disney, you'll hear her on, you'll see her on the Disney Channel and all the different shows that she's involved in. But this week, we're going to be welcoming back our own Rainey Rodriguez.
So we go
to
Hollywood
Bryan.
And Bryan.
We are Hollywood and Bryan. So I invite everyone to come out and welcome Rainey back to town and back to this area, and wish her success with her new movie Prom. Also want to mention that First Friday is May 6th, so not this Friday, but the following Friday. It will be a very successful First Friday in downtown Bryan. So if you haven't ventured into downtown Bryan to see what all is going on, we've got several new restaurants that have popped up since last First Friday. So I invite everyone to come out and try those. Also want to mention that Texas Reds is October 7th and 8th. It's coming up. It's right around the corner. So I want to tell everyone to get that on your calendars in downtown Bryan. And also when you're out and about on a Sunday and you see 1,500-plus lemonade stands around town, I invite everyone in Bryan College Station to stop and support our youth of the Brazos Valley here and buying some lemonade from them. And also want to mention a new business that just opened up in Bryan. We had a ribbon cutting last week. Pincrow is hiring about 500 employees.
Yeah.
It was announced around Christmas of last year, so it was definitely a Christmas gift for a lot of the underemployed and unemployed in the Brazos Valley that have the opportunity to work at Pencrow, wages anywhere from $10 to $20 an hour with benefits. So had an opportunity to visit with the folks last week, and they've hired already 100 folks. They've got about 400 more to go. So we welcome Pencrow to town. You know, in the economic times that we're seeing right now, it's important that as elected officials, we do our best to attract jobs of all varieties here to the region to support our economy and the labor force that we have here.
Absolutely. Thanks for the time this
Thank
morning.
Thank you, Scott.
You bet. That's Jason Bianski, the mayor of Bryan.